Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and good day. Welcome to the September 2024 edition of Backbeat Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, talking about reunions today. If you follow my show, been following my show for any period of time, probably know I'm a big fan of the English rock band Oasis, and if you've been checking out music news over the last week or two, even if you don't follow the band, there has been big news breaking. The brothers Gallagher, Noel, and Liam, they have decided to bury the hatchet, put away their differences, and start talking again. And of course, they talked about a reunion, and naturally, there's been a big pile of money continually offered their way, and at some point, seems that the time is right, life's too short, and the reunion is happening. Most of all, that's great news for fans of the band or maybe people that didn't get to see them the first time around. That's the thing about reunions. You got guys like me who've been a fan of the band since back in the 90s, and I'm happy to see them get back together. You know, life is too short to, you know, squabble and hold grudges, especially against someone who's your brother. We'll be talking about other famous brother rock and roll rivalries and arguments and fights. It's not the most uncommon thing, but the Gallagher brothers certainly up there in the Hall of Fame and are, you know, worthy of a gold, silver, or bronze medal at least when it comes to brothers who have fought famously in the entertainment and rock and roll world. So going to kind of get to what's going on with them now, look at their history a little bit, kind of how I became a fan, and, you know, talk about some other bands with brothers, other famous reunions in music history and rock and roll, and just kind of going to go from there. So anyway, one of the things going on, naturally, Oasis is a huge band in England and Europe. They're pretty big in the United States, although not as big as many others. The landscape, of course, has changed. Again, 30 years ago when they were in their heyday through the 90s and early 2000s, you know, they basically had a good 15-year run when they were coming around the first time, and then they had a big breakup in 2009 when Liam, the singer, apparently swung a guitar at Noel, the guitar player, and at that point Noel decided he'd had enough, walked out. It was in Paris, France. They had a show scheduled that night that didn't happen. And Noel was out. Oasis broke up. And that's kind of where we're going to start with the story today and kind of how that came in. Obviously, there was a build-up in the first 15 years, and there's been about 15 years in between. And ironically, they announced their reconciliation on 15 years to the date that they are getting back together and have a world tour plan. Now, some people, of course, have asked, will there be new music coming with that? And again, I've gotten most of this on social media. Oasis is one of the bands that I've followed quite a bit, and, you know, we're still kind of a current happening band in the mid to late 2000s when social media was brand new, and, you know, I got on there and started following, you know, certain things I was interested in, and they were certainly one of them. And, you know, sadly, the news of their, you know, their official breakup happened. It wasn't exactly a super shock. Obviously, the history of the Gallaghers, Noel and Liam, and fighting, arguing for years before that, and you know, just the general squabbling, although they made great music. You know, it seemed like once they were on stage, even though it got a little volatile and dangerous at times, if you check out some of their live videos or listen to some of their albums, there's a couple little remarks that are hard to understand, but the, you know, looking back, it's probably the Gallagher brothers saying stuff to each other in certain brotherly code, nonetheless. So one of the drawbacks to the big news, when the ticket agency that, you know, put the tickets up for sale for the tour in England, I don't, they haven't announced U.S. tour dates yet, although they are expected. And I did see a rumored post that there was a date scheduled in Los Angeles, supposedly, which would be on my birthday next year. And they're not playing a lot of U.S. places. I think Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston were the places that were mentioned, in addition to the U.K. and Europe shows, and Mexico City. Or they're huge in Mexico as well, go figure. Mega big in California, especially Los Angeles, and Chicago, and Boston, other places where they apparently have some strongholds. Odd that they're not, don't have New York scheduled, but nonetheless, no official dates for the United States have been announced yet. And, you know, in fact, the United Kingdom dates in the UK, England, and Europe and such, there have been some dates announced, but the ticket lottery that went on sale basically last weekend, apparently, as these things go, when there's a huge supply and demand ratio that's imbalanced, you know, things will happen. The lottery, apparently, a lot of people were unable to get through. Some people got a confirmation that they got through and were unable to get tickets, and just a lot of stuff that, you know, sadly, I didn't have to deal with yet because I'm not buying tickets for the U.S. quite yet. But kind of a good thing. Well, sad that some fans didn't get what they were looking for. Sad that it's in such a high supply that the secondary market, a.k.a. ticket resellers, are having a big field day because the reaction. And again, it's supply and demand. You know that there's a, you know, Oasis, obviously, they have a legacy. People like me like them, still talk about them from years gone by. Other people of our age have moved on or aren't following music and rock and roll so much. But then they've also, the fact the Gallagher brothers have done their own music and released a fair amount of solo albums each, and with their respective bands, Noel's band, the High Flying Birds, and Liam, you know, kind of as a solo artist with his backing band, the fact that they have done really well touring and album sales, hitting number one in the UK, shows that they still have a following. So it's a mix, not unlike some of the other big classic rock bands, like the Rolling Stones. They got a mix of young people who want to see them and people that remember them from yesteryear. So that caused the dynamic pricing dynamic to blow up the English promoter's website and all of that. Kind of like Taylor Swift, kind of like Bruce Springsteen. It's going to be that epic. Even if Oasis isn't a household name in your household, there are huge demand coming up for this. So moving on to the next question, fans are going, okay, who's going to be in the lineup? Obviously, Noel and Liam, they're the components they needed to shake hands and make up and reconcile from their 15 years of being apart and literally, you know, slagging and hating each other publicly. I think the only thing they've had in common is that their favorite soccer team, English football team Manchester United, has turned into a dominant club, winning many English Premier League championships in a row and even winning a championship, UEFA Champions League title just last season before last. So they've at least probably bonded over Manchester City, if nothing else. But obviously, Liam and Noel are in the band. Who else is going to be in the lineup? It was recently confirmed that original member of Oasis, Paul Arthurs, also known as Bonehead. If I was going to pick a nickname, I'd kind of like Bonehead. I don't know if I would pick it, but it certainly would grow on me. He was kind of prematurely bald, so it probably has something to do with that. But Bonehead, Paul Arthurs, who was an original member, guitar player, is going to be in the reunion. Now, Paul Arthurs, a.k.a. Bonehead, he goes back to even when Liam was forming a band and Noel had been out as a roadie in a band called Inspiral Carpets. He's a little older, and when he was interested in music, he was old enough that Liam wasn't so much, and then he went out on the road, Liam became interested in music, go figure. So he, it's kind of how Oasis began. Noel came back after being a drum tech, of all things, for the English band in Spiral Carpets, out on the road, came back, discovered Liam had a band, and basically that band became Oasis, with Noel joining, and his one stipulation joining was that they let him become the songwriter. He just didn't think they had any songs, and you know, he's none too shy. Either of these guys are none too shy to break out their opinions. So Noel, with confidence, became the songwriter. Paul Arthur was a guitar player. Not sure if Giggsy, that was his nickname, and what he's known as, original bass player, will be the bass player in the upcoming lineup, and probably not Tony McCarroll on drums. I've heard Alan White, who replaced Tony McCarroll, I believe, on the second album, second tour, somewhere back in there, has been mentioned as well. Not sure if current High-Flying Bird drummer Chris Chirac will be playing drums. There's also been talk about Noel's band, the High-Flying Birds, being the opening act, and then come out and play, and then take a break, and then an Oasis set after that. So there's still some details to be ironed out. I think it'd be cool if Noel's band technically opened, then there was another band in the middle, and then Oasis wrapped it up. Would be kind of fun, and Noel's got a pretty reputable band and wants to keep his musicians working, and, you know, if that's one of his stipulations to doing this show, that's not so bad. Plus, in his current band, Chris Chirac is playing drums. Chris Chirac was in Oasis at the end, and also, along with current High-Flying Birds guitarist, Gam Archer, who was in Oasis, is currently in the High-Flying Birds. He and Chris Chirac, the drummer, were both in the band BDI, which released two albums. That was the band that Liam and the members of Oasis stayed on and formed when Noel Gallagher left back in 2009. So that was a band with Chris Chirac, Gam Archer on guitar, Andy Bell, who had been in Oasis for a handful of albums with Gam Archer. He switched back to guitar, his preferred instrument. They ended up getting a bass player who I wrote the name down, and now I forgot, a dude who went back to playing with Damon Albarn and Gorillaz, who was the bass player in BDI. Now, BDI did two albums. They did a U.S. tour. I saw that tour. They came to Los Angeles at the Wiltern Theater, a great theater here in L.A., a place I also saw Liam on subsequently years later on his solo tour. But a pretty cool theater, and it was a good show. Really enjoyed it. When their second album came out, it was pretty decent. It didn't sell so well, but that was interesting because when that album was released, Gam Archer, unfortunately, right about the time of the release, he fell at home, apparently on the stairs or whatnot, and he hit his head pretty seriously, where he had to go to the hospital, and there was, it wasn't an aneurysm, but definitely some brain bruising type stuff had happened, at least a concussion, and he was hospitalized for a short time, a couple of weeks, I mean, pretty major, you know, with some head trauma from the fall. And, you know, with that happening, it just really, it kind of canceled all the plans that the band BDI had in place with the release of the new album. They were set to tour, and then that all got put back on hold. And then at some point, not too long after all that, Liam Gallagher decided to officially pull the plug on BDI and then kind of went on his own sideways for a little bit before he decided to become a solo artist. So, not sure had that band stayed together, if they would have continued on, or if Liam would have found his way to doing solo work nonetheless, or if some of those members would have quit and joined Noel's band on their own anyway. They ended up becoming available, and Noel decided to hire Lee Scam Archer and Chris Chirac into the High-Flying Birds, even though they weren't there technically at the beginning. So Andy Bell, is he going to be in the Oasis reunion? Yes, no, maybe so. Not quite sure yet. I've not heard him mention. He was, he's mainly a guitarist, but he was also the guy who handled bass duties live for much of those Oasis tours. There, of course, is the original member, Gigsy, who hasn't really stayed active musically since he was replaced in Oasis. Now, I don't remember if he and Bonehead and, you know, Tony McCarroll were fired, or if it was just one of those, you know, natural evolutions. It was about the third or fourth album. Definitely by the album Heathen Chemistry, when that came out, you know, Andy and Gam were in place. And, you know, that also added a new dynamic, maybe some slightly better guitar lead ability. You know, Noel's an awesome songwriter, and everything is definitely within the song style. Gam and Andy Bell can take it a little further when it came to psychedelics, although, you know, Oasis has never been a super jam band. But that element kind of came in, and Noel, you know, was always the serious songwriter. So not sure if Gigsy will be making a comeback in this. Noel Gallagher's current bass player in the High Flying Birds, Russ Pritchard, has been mentioned since he's been a steady player in Noel's band, the High Flying Birds. His work is really good. I like his sound. I've seen him play. Consistent guy. And, you know, he's probably just fine to get along with. Some of the English papers that follow it much closer than I do. I don't remember Russ Pritchard's band before he decided to. He voluntarily called up Noel Gallagher and said, hey, he's going to be your bass player in the new band. And Noel goes, I haven't thought of one yet. And Russ said, I would like to offer my services. And Noel goes, yeah, you're hired. Come down to the studio Monday and we'll start working. It was pretty much that easy. And, you know, that's the greatest job interview ever, kind of call up and end up getting the gig that easily. So he might be in the mix, although, again, I was talking about some of the English fan columns and stuff. Again, I follow almost all the sites on social media, you know, between X, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm on all the, you know, Oasis band and fan sites related, so I catch a lot of stuff. And quite honestly, for like 15 years, you know, the reunion has been an ongoing joke or a meme, you know, of people going, I heard that, or they were spotted, you know, just the scuttlebutt and the, you know, people just, you know, really holding out, hoping it would happen, and then, hey, it finally did. But anyway, back to those papers, they say that apparently Liam and Russ Pritchard may have had words in the past, essentially, you know, Liam doing what Gallagher brothers do and publicly, you know, not holding back on opinions on another band, and apparently Liam had a not-so-glowing opinion of Russ Pritchard's band before joining the High Flying Birds. So that could be a reason why he may or may not be involved. And as an outside shot, I did read one fan thought that Manny from Primal Scream would be a great bass player, because he is a good bass player and apparently not really active at the moment. But when BDI did their second album, another English band called Kasabian was going through a bit of a lineup change as well, and or a bit of a music change. They went much more of a heavy dance, synth-sounding, kind of Nine Inch Nails meets their pop version. An interesting synergy, and that's kind of the direction their main songwriter, Sergio Pizarro, was taking the bands. And Jay Mailer is the guy who was lead guitar player, actually an American in a British band out of Philadelphia, who ironically is Ringo Starr's son-in-law. He's married to one of Ringo Starr's daughters, which would be interesting if Ringo Starr's son, Zach, ended up on drums. He had been in the band for quite some time at one point, although I think Noel later kind of said he wasn't his favorite drummer, but who knows? These things are said and mentioned quite often over the years. But Jay Mailer left Kasabian because they were going with a little bit more of a techno-pop or synthesizer-heavy direction, not as much on guitar. And Jay left Kasabian and actually, sort of like Russ Pritchard, volunteered to be Liam Gallagher's bass player, going from lead guitar in a pretty successful English band, Kasabian. You know, they sold out tours, but, you know, I don't know if he was a full-on writer in the band, as those things, you know, do and don't work out so well. So he joined BDI as a bass player and was all set to go with that tour. And as I mentioned, when Gam Archer had the head injury, you know, that stopped all momentum right at the release, and tour dates are scheduled. That didn't happen. So he might be someone available. Obviously, you know, the Kasabian resume, you know, holds pretty true. And he certainly learned, you know, not the Oasis songs are super hard, but he learned a lot of them to have been in what would have been Liam's touring band. So, you know, I know if I can play those songs, Jay Mailer can definitely play them as well. It's the September 2024 edition of Backbeat Radio. I'm Jay Cruz, happy to talk about the Oasis reunion. And we're going to get into some more bands with brothers and like to fight on stage, other big anticipated reunions, and more Oasis talk on Backbeat Radio today on HealthyLife.net Radio.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
To get your message out, social media is great, but if you want to be picked up by major media outlets, let's face it, just using social media makes your chances, well, slim to none. If you want to improve your chances, put your message in the right place. A press release on PR Web. Affordable, easy to use, and with great customer service, there's no reason not to use PR Web. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on PR Web now and get started.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Backbeat Radio, September 2024 edition. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. We're talking all things Oasis with the big announcement of the reunion. If you're a fan of Backbeat Radio, you know I'm a huge fan of Oasis. In fact, the title for when I just do a show about music news when I don't have a guest is called Backbeat Word on the Street. A lot of music news, Backbeat Word on the Street, are lyrics from the big song Wonderwall from Oasis' second album, What's the Story, Morning Glory. Also, the Beatles have Backbeat in their songs, and you know, obviously, there's a thing that Chuck Berry and the Stones and the Beatles were influenced by. You know, where Oasis were influenced by the Beatles and Stones, not so much Chuck Berry and those guys. So, you know, the odd thing, the Oasis reunion is happening. And, you know, for those that are in England or know that England is a country that allows bookmaking as a legal across-the-board business, and the bookmakers have already laid odds 4-1 that Oasis will break up by the time the reunion tour is over, I believe. That could be between now and even starting it, or another incident backstage like in Paris, France in August of 2009. So there's already odds that they're going to break up just because of their big history. There is Liam Gallagher has always been active on the Twitter, or now known as the X, and he's, he's just one of the, he loves that format, Twitter, and he has, you know, got into it with fans here and there, saying things, saying a lot of positive stuff at shows and after shows about the crowd. But, you know, somebody recently with the news of all of this asked if there would be new music coming out from the band, and he said November, or they're going to start working on an album in November. So that's good news that, you know, with the tour announcement, which is great. The fact that brothers are talking and planning on working together, which is great, because, again, life is too short, and especially when they had a good thing going. I mean, 75 million albums sold and sold-out shows, you know, figure things out, guys. So they kind of finally did, and that's moving along. And, of course, their shared love of English football team, Manchester City, and, the success of that team is probably something that they've bonded on a little bit over in the past. Now, probably wondering how I became such a big fan of Oasis, and, you know, well, if you haven't listened to them and you're even a semi-fan of the Beatles, give them a shot. You know, there are other music fans that will take points away from Oasis and don't like them, saying that they think they're too much, too derivative of the Beatles. I kind of say, well, they're certainly not the only band in history that's been derivative or influenced by the Beatles. So, you know, let's kind of put that at bay. But they also combined that with a overabundance of confidence / arrogance that I definitely know turns people off. At the time, in the 90s, when they came out, it just appealed to me because that was a time when I was kind of around my peak and working rock radio. I'd been in the business a couple of years. A radio station that I was working at in San Jose was going through a change from classic rock to modern rock that I sort of, you know, straddled the two generations. I'd grown up on the classic rock stuff, big fan of that, still enjoy that. But, you know, I was exposed to alternative rock through my college years, and that was music that was happening as I was, you know, cracking on the radio. So that was more of the music available to, you know, me on the college stations. And, you know, before the internet, music fans, we got our news, our current hip, what's happening today music news from an old network that doesn't do what it used to do anymore. I'm talking MTV. They used to actually be music television. They showed rock and roll videos or pop videos, popular videos. They had some specialty shows. There was Yo MTV Raps with Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, and not the Dr. Dre that's the producer with Snoop Dogg, but a different Dr. Dre. And there was 120 Minutes, which is the Sunday at midnight two-hour show of alternative rock. There was Headbangers Ball with Ricky Rockman. And, you know, a few other cool shows, like, you know, the Guns N' Roses Live at the Ritz, and music, MTV's Music News with Kurt Loder. In fact, there was the recent Lollapalooza documentary on Paramount Plus that, you know, talks about the history of Lollapalooza, and it really broke down, you know, the history of 90s rock at that time. And, you know, before it goes, you know, super deep on the Lollapalooza stuff, it was just a great flashback to the 90s, and it reminded me how MTV was our technically our internet and how we got most our daily news. Internet was just beginning at that time. There were a few friends of mine, because I was in Silicon Valley, where half the people I knew were involved in technology of some sort and working on projects that were going to be involved with the new internet. So they were on things like chat boards or message boards, and things like that were among the first thing. And back then, it seemed like the internet was just fun. It was just designed for fun. I'm like, well, what's the internet? And they go, I don't know. I find out all this Grateful Dead news, or all this, you know, alternative rock news, all this music news about fans just, you know, posting news on there. So that was something that was new and happening. And, well, I was watching MTV's 120 Minutes video one night, and this video for a song Supersonic came on. It wasn't so much the video that was amazing, but the song was really, really catchy and really, really caught me. And then not too long after that, I'm reading, I can't remember if it was Spin magazine or Rolling Stone, but one of the two, you know, big music publications. And there was an interview with Lars Ulrich where he was part of a column talking about that song Supersonic, which is a glowing, you know, endorsement from, you know, Lars from Metallica, you know, talking about how much he liked Oasis. But the only thing I didn't like is he had technically said he heard it on another radio station, which was our competition in the Bay Area. But other than that, he said great things about the band and the song. In fact, when Noel Gallagher played here in L.A. just a couple years ago, I happened to see some of the backstage photos. I wasn't back there. I'm not that cool. But did see Bradley Cooper in the crowd, and then he was in the backstage photos with Noel Gallagher and Lars Ulrich, and I can't remember who else. But, you know, Lars staying a fan of, you know, Noel and his side work even after all those years. So, you know, that was kind of a ringing endorsement. Their first album came out, which featured Supersonic, Rock and Roll Star, and Live Forever was a song that my radio station was playing. And by then, we had switched formats from the classic rock to the modern rock format. And Oasis was one of the first, you know, big new bands that we were playing. And they really stood out to me. Number one, I heard that video, saw that video that night, and I was like, okay, Oasis, these guys, they sound cool. You know, it was kind of my Lars Ulrich moment when it came to Oasis. And then, you know, I knew we were playing the other song, Live Forever, so I, you know, got more interested in them. But they stood out because, you know, some of the 90s music that we were playing when we first switched formats had a little bit of a skewed, a little younger audience, even though I had maybe just turned 30. I was kind of the old man on the air after going from the young whippersnapper. All of a sudden, I was, you know, Gandalf the Grey. You know, but some of the songs were definitely a little more bubblegum-ish, like No Doubt. You know, that was a band I tolerated. I wasn't a super fan. I've come to appreciate their musicianship and, you know, what Gwen Stefani's done over her career and years in there. But, you know, at the time, you know, I'm a rock and roll dude. No Doubt just wasn't quite rock and roll. But Oasis certainly stood out. Their English rivals, Blur, they were kind of cool, kind of quirky, but I became a huge fan of them. And, you know, at the time, all the other new music in the 90s was either, like, kind of the bubblegummy pop, the No Doubt stuff. There was the Seattle grunge. I love that. But, you know, at some point, you just can't listen to it all day. It does get a little heavy and was a little depressing. And if you look back, I think everybody but Pearl Jam's had a death in the band. And if you actually look further into Pearl Jam, their history, they technically were from the ashes of a band called Mother Love Bone that had been signed and was one of the first Seattle bands to get some airplay. We played them at my San Jose radio station, and their singer died of a fill-in-the-blank overdose, just like so many of the other Seattle people did. So while I enjoyed a lot of that music, there was certainly a darkness and a heaviness to it, and Oasis just had enough guitar, enough melody, and just the right swagger and attitude to kind of pull me in and make me a fan. And then they played at one of our Christmas shows in San Jose, and, you know, I ended up seeing them there. They had a famous show that 2 years ago I was talking to Anton Newcomb here on Backbeat Radio, and you can catch that video if you go to Backbeat Radio on YouTube. You can actually find the whole thing. You know, but Anton of the Brian Jonestown Massacre opened up a show for Oasis at a place called the Bottom of the Hill, which is a small little divey nightclub and a kind of a divey nightclub part of semi-rough part of San Francisco. And then they played our acoustic show, saw them again at the Bill Graham Civic, and then Oasis, before I moved to Los Angeles, saw them opening for U2 at the Oakland Coliseum, which was a pretty mega big show. We're going to take a quick break. It's Backbeat Radio. We're going to come back and talk about some other brother bands that either fight or don't fight as much, and talk about some other classic reunions and more Oasis. It's the Reunion Show with the Brothers Gallagher today on Backbeat Radio for September 2024 on Backbeat Radio on HealthyLife.net.
I'm Carole King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back, Backbeat Radio, the September 2024 edition today on HealthyLife.net, talking to all things Oasis and the reunion. And I mentioned that show that Anton Newcombe, when I interviewed him a couple years ago on Backbeat Radio here on the station, you know, he talked about opening that show for Oasis at the bottom of the hill. And, you know, I have really gone through my mind. I remember going to that club, the bottom of the hill, but I don't believe I was at that show because I got it, even though, you know, at that time I wasn't a huge fan of either of these bands, as I later became. They're literally two of my favorite bands, Oasis and Brian Jonestown Massacre, at least a couple of my favorite bands. And I'd have to say the Black Crowes, at least as far as newer bands that came out in the 90s or later and are still kind of going musically. I do remember going to the bottom of the hill. My mind just can't confirm it. And I remember most of the places I've been and seen, but, you know, there's a saying that I remember when I was struggling with math back in junior high. I was taking the basic math, and my teacher, Mr. Robertson, he was a quirky guy. Anyway, he suggested I take the advanced math class, and I would learn more. And I go, but I don't know, I'm kind of not sure about that. You know, this math class is, you know, kind of tough for me. He goes, you know, but you'll learn more in the advanced math class. He goes, besides, you get a chance to go to Mr. Johnson's class. He goes, that guy, and he was a lot younger than Mr. Robertson, too, and he's kind of a hippie, mountain man kind of dude. Reminded me of basketball player Bill Walton. And I kind of thought Mr. Johnson would be cool because he was a, you know, pretty big hippie. I thought that'd be more fun than Mr. Robertson, who used to comedically smoke chalk in the middle of class and tell corny dad jokes because he was going to, you know, grandfather age back then. He was probably only 40, but, you know, when you're in junior high, everybody seems old. Anyway, he said the phrase, which is the point I'm trying to get to. He's like, Mr. Johnson knows he has forgotten more math than almost anybody else even knows. I was kind of like, that's kind of an interesting statement. And I think I've come to that point where I've almost forgotten more music and music-related events that I've been to or covered than most people know, because I worked in the business for so long and did so many things where, you know, there was days where, like, you know, you would go to an Oasis show and then the next night the Black Crowes would be in studio, and then, you know, the new, you know, release by the next band would be coming. So you'd have a week where like four or five really big events would happen. And a lot of it was just a blur. In fact, that was a band I mentioned that was, you know, pretty big too. And famously had the chart position battle with Oasis back in the 90s when they both released albums on the same time, trying to pull off the Beatles and Stone kind of thing. But anyway, that's kind of where we're going with that. So I don't believe I was at that show, that epic show at the bottom of the hill with Oasis and Brian Jonestown Massacre. But, you know, nonetheless, certainly made up for time after that. And, you know, another reason that Oasis really got on my special side, you know, they had the great songs. I love the songs to begin with. They were a breath of fresh air compared with a lot of the other music that we were playing. And, you know, the day of the show, when they played our almost acoustic Christmas show in San Jose, you know, I believe I was probably doing an air shift, which is why I wasn't out driving an assigned band from place to place, which I, you know, later went to the venue and was, you know, did things. And again, there were so many bands playing. I think I took a picture with Weezer that I never saw, that never saw the light of day. By the way, Weezer's Blue album's on its 30th anniversary, so, you know, this is all 30 years ago. I'm happy I can even remember some of this stuff, let alone, again, the more music than most people remember statement there. So, but I remember in the aftermath, some of the other staff members, and a lot of them I kind of was friendly with, some I just didn't like. I know you're hearing J. Cruz, happy-go-lucky, sunny disposition, Mr. Positive Radio guy, didn't like people he worked with? Wow, what a revelation. Well, you know, there was, like, obviously professional jealousy, and there was a couple of people on the air staff that I just knew in my heart of hearts and my brain and my head listening. I just knew I was better as a DJ than they were, but they got the new position because it was a new statement, and this one guy was just a bonehead, and I'm not talking Paul Arthur's bonehead, just a bonehead, period. And he was talking how he, you know, ran across the Oasis guys, and he was just, I didn't like them. They came across a little too arrogant, like they're rock stars or something. And I go, dude, they are rock stars. What the heck did you expect from them? Like, you know, they didn't sign up for this to come and please you, Mr. Disc Jockey in San Jose, California. They, you know, they came from poor upbringings. They've made no secret that they want to sell albums. They want to sell out tickets and tours and be rock stars, and they, you know, sold 75 million albums. You know, whether they broke a few eggs on the way, making those omelets, and stepped on a toe or two, you know, that's going to happen. Not everybody's a fan of everything. Some of the biggest, most popular and things are some of the things people can't stand the most. You know, the Super Bowl, traditionally, every single solitary year, ranks as the number one show on television, and the next highest rated show is like the Super Bowl before that, and they're always in the top 10, except for like the MASH reunion, which was pretty gangbusters back in the day, if you remember MASH. You know, but with that number that comes across for the Super Bowl, it's basically one out of three people in America is watching. That means two out of three are doing something else. That's still a massive majority of people that are like, I ain't watching the biggest thing going on today, which is the Super Bowl. So, you know, when bands are big, I mean, there's a lot of people that love the Rolling Stones. There's a lot of people that can't stand Mick Jagger and other things. So Oasis has a little of that going with them as well. But when this particular guy at my station announced he didn't like him because they were acting like rock stars, they, like, could not have become saints any faster in my book. I swear to God, I became such a triple fan of who I was at that point. That's what shot him to the top. It's Backbeat Radio. I'm J. Cruz. We'll be right back.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
That's right, it's Backbeat Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and this is going to be the last segment on the show today. We're talking all things Oasis and the big reunion. I could not be happier, and if the rumors are true of the concert dates that I saw that might show them in the United States next year, they might play L.A. on my birthday, which would be about 1 year from this Friday, but nonetheless, I think I know what I'm doing next birthday, whether or not I know what I'm doing this Friday is beside the point. So the brothers Gallagher have buried the hatchet, got back together, and are probably buying new houses and stuff at the time. Another reason I like the band, besides they did kind of rub a staff member that I didn't particularly like the wrong way back in the 90s, is that they have done some of the funniest rock and roll interviews in history, and I've read nearly every great, I grew up reading, listening to, I've absorbed a lot of music. Again, the statement, people, I've forgotten more music than most people will ever know. And that's not a bragging thing, it's just that's what I've stuffed my head with. That and sports information. Other than that, I'm pretty much useless. I mean, I'm a nice guy, but other than that, you know, bottom line of kind of like some journalistic integrity and some skills with some media toys. Cameras, microphones, a couple things like that. Other than that, I'm just kind of a dude who enjoys music, sports, and pop culture. So, a couple other brother bands in history that have been just as, or maybe not as even close to volatile as the Gallagher brothers. One band I'm going to mention, because they're still current, and they did a tour with Oasis back in the very late 90s. In fact, you can go on YouTube, and there is a documentary on the Brotherly Love Tour. I don't know if you can see the full documentary, but there's, you know, 6-minute, 10-minute clips on there. And that was when Black Crowes, Chris, and Rich Robinson, and the Gallagher brothers, Liam and Noel, all toured together. And, of course, all the roadies and crews were just, like, you know, betting on, number one, the other brothers are worse than our band's brothers. They both thought the others were more volatile and worse. And, you know, nonetheless, they did a tour together. About a year or two ago, the Black Crowes, the Robinson brothers, buried their hatchet, got back to touring. They did an EP for songs from the 1972 and 2022, which is the 50th anniversary, and some great songs, including Rocks Off by the Stones and Papa Was a Rolling Stone, one of my all-time favorites. But you know, they did a tour with Oasis, and, you know, they certainly had a history of fighting themselves. Now, back in the 60s, the Davies brothers, Ray Davies and Dave Davies on guitar, the Kinks were a great band, an overlooked band of the 60s, and another old colleague of mine who has since passed, that was a big influence on me getting into the business, that was his favorite band. A guy named Dennis in San Jose. He loved the Kinks. That was his favorite band. And they legendarily had fights on stage. I mean, fist fights on stage. That's dangerous rock and roll. I don't think the Allman Brothers were very volatile. They're on too many mushrooms, I think, to really, you know, have a problem unless they didn't have any mushrooms. But the fact that, sadly, you know, Dwayne had died pretty early, back in his 20s, in a motorcycle accident, pretty much probably eliminated any years that there could have been tension and fights between the Allman Brothers, but never really any big news about them. The Van Halen Brothers, they certainly had a career, famous guys, big band, certainly some personalities. They had to deal with Diamond David Lee Roth, And then Sammy Hagar, who's, you know, probably behind the scenes, was a bit of a controlling kind of cat, but, you know, appears to be super mellow and easier to get along with than most guys, especially Dave. You know, Sammy'd already done the solo thing when he joined Van Halen, which I kind of wanted him to stay solo. I liked his solo work and, you know, thought Van Halen could just found some guy, but it is what it is. And pretty soon we'll find out more if there was some tension between the brothers Van Halen, as Alex, the drummer, older brother of Edward Van Halen, the virtuoso guitar legend who passed away a couple years ago. Well, Alex was pretty formidable on the drums himself, and has been pretty quiet outside of, you know, old Van Halen interviews with the band. Didn't do really much as an interviewer on his own, except for maybe the occasional Drum World Drummer magazine, which outside a handful of drummers reading up on paradiddles and, you know, drumheads, you know, that's pretty much your audience. He's writing an tell-all book, will also be an audiobook, and apparently there's a song that Edward and Alex had worked on together that will be released as part of that book, an audiobook project. I can't wait to read it because, you know, there hasn't been any official tell-all stuff about the Van Halens, and, you know, now that Edward is gone, this is going to be one to look forward to. So we'll find out. I kind of think they got along pretty well, and obviously Alex was big brother, kind of racer X to Speed Racer, which was Edward, especially on the fretboard. Did mention the Black Crowes. The Doobie Brothers were not brothers. They were brothers in the handshake, we're united, we like the same things, we play music together, brotherhood, as opposed to we have the same mom and dad, brotherhood. And of course, anybody that still remembers the old 60s slang for the Doobie Brothers, I'm sure when they're jamming and someone go, where are we going to name the band? And then they pass that joint to the next guy, or pass that doobie to the next guy. Someone probably said, how about the Doobie Brothers? And it probably didn't go much further than that. The Ramones were not brothers, although they all had the same stage name, Joey Ramone, Johnny Ramone, Dee Dee Ramone. They weren't brothers, but definitely brothers in the rock and roll sense. John Fogerty had a brother. John Fogerty. He was in Creedence Clearwater Revival. You probably wouldn't know it or didn't know it until I just dropped that bit of knowledge on you. A couple other obscure bands. There was a band called Sparks. In fact, you can find a documentary. They've done a lot of albums. They were a huge underground band in the 70s. And you'd kind of listening to them, you might describe them as somebody like Sweet meets Queen. They were very, very high-end vocals, very produced, very, very good vocals. And I remember them as a part of growing up. They were on, like, American Bandstand, and they were a kind of a popular band that really, you know, kind of stayed on the underground obscurity for whatever reason, although there was a documentary that was just released about a year or so ago, and it's funny because there's Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols talks about it, and he talks about the one singer, Russ, who, you know, Steve Jones is like, here comes old Cutie Pie, you know. Apparently he was a good-looking guy and, you know, had a lot of female admirers. And the other brother, probably not so much. And, well, I'm not the judge on necessarily what's good-looking male or not. I would venture to guess that the brother, not Russell, but the other guy, and I know his name, but I can't think of it right now. Of course, more music than most people have ever known. The other guy, he had a mustache very much like Adolf Hitler. And I don't know how that's going to go popular, but he pulled it off on stage. It was interesting because he never really spoke in interviews. He was kind of quiet. Think Teller from Penn and Teller. He was like the quiet guy, which I believe is Teller because it's Penn Jillette. He's the loudmouth guy who also does voiceovers for Comedy Central. He's a pretty funny guy, but he's got a very distinctive loud voice. In fact, he used to be on Bay Area Radio on the Alex Bennett show quite a bit when they were still kind of on the underground. Penn and Teller were just breaking through and playing clubs in San Francisco quite a bit. Another band that started in the 70s And I played on college radio, brothers that didn't really fight. I don't think the Sparks brothers fought. The Mayall brothers, that was their last name. Russ was one of them, and then guy with Hitler mustache on keyboards was the other one. Band called Red Cross. They spell it with two D's and a K, R-E-D-D-K-R-O-S-S. Very cool, popular band that played in the 80s, college radio. And they both, you know, they're going to be in their late 50s, if not earlier 60s, for Jeff, who was the older one. And then there's Stephen McDonald, who plays the bass, and Jeff, who was older, sang and played guitar. Stephen sings a little bit well. Since they're brothers and family members, they harmonize great. And, you know, they're big fans of, you know, 70s pop culture, things like the Partridge Family, while at the same time being fans of Led Zeppelin and the Beatles. So they have this very interesting, you know, they at times have straddled bubblegum pop, I think, just that's a cheesier side to them. But they've also, you know, gone, you know, pretty electric rock and roll metal at the same time. And they just released a new album. But Red Cross is a band that's a bigger influence on some other bands than you know. If you like Stone Temple Pilots, you would like Red Cross. We can leave it at that, because the Stone Temple Pilots melodies definitely sound like they heard a Red Cross or went to a Red Cross show somewhere along the way. And again, back to the thing on Oasis, so people go, well, you sound like the Beatles. Well, so does Red Cross, so Stone Temple Pilots, and a bunch of other bands that have tried to as well, so don't bang the drum on just Oasis. And another band famous with brothers and older family members and actually helped them get their start, which always helps, AC/DC. Malcolm Young, of course, passed away a couple of years ago, complications of dementia. He was the riff master of that band. You know, it's funny because so many bands and guitarists I know are like, well, let's play some AC/DC because those are really simple songs. And then they try to play them and they don't get them right. There's a certain dynamic to how those guys play. But I don't recall any fights or arguments from the brothers in AC/DC or anyone involved in that group at all. The clock on the wall says it's about time to shut the hell up and wrap this up. Backbeat Radio is always available on demand 24/7. Actually, once we put this show up, it should be a couple hours. If you're listening live on the 4th or if you're listening at any other time, it should be there. And if it's not, call the station and say, Jay, where's that archive? Backbeat Radio. I want to hear my Oasis reunion news. So let's wrap it up until October. Backbeat Radio on HealthyLife.net.